Hi, I'm Al Majoros. I am a three-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. What do you do when you're a caregiver for someone with cancer for 10 years and then become a cancer patient yourself? How do you help others? Well, we find out today when we talk to Lou and Karen of Kokolulu Farm and Cancer Retreats in Hawaii. They offer free cancer retreats for people going through treatment as well as going through survivorship. Let's meet this amazing couple right now.
Aloha.
Awesome. I love it. So let's jump right in and let me know, why did you decide to start a cancer retreat in Hawaii?
Well, why not? You know, some of the background, Mel, is that for 25 years I was married to a man who for 12 of those years was on chemotherapy for a cancer he did not survive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was an oncology nurse for many years, which is a cancer nurse.
Right.
And then a few years after I lost Dave, I ended up having a cancer diagnosis of my own. So I was a caregiver for 12 years, and a little aside, I've never, as an RN, I've never known anybody on chemotherapy that long before or since.
Yeah, that is a long time. What did he have?
He had a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but there are so many of them, and he had one of which the survival rate was less than 0.5%. So we knew from diagnosis he wouldn't survive, and they didn't expect him to survive 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
And I like to put that out there because my experience is when the doctors give some sort of time frame, people need to remember that that's not, it's wrong more often than it's right.
Exactly. Well, that's why they call it medical practice, right?
Yeah. I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
But yeah.
It was just a joke there. So what kind of diagnosis did you have?
I had a cervical cancer, and I had some anger issues I had to deal with because I had abnormal pap for 6 years, and my doctor sent me my pap results for all those 6 years saying they were normal, when indeed they had not been when I went back and looked.
Oh, my goodness.
So when that happened to me, I was so full of anger. And I had a friend who had had a cancer and had the wrong breast biopsied and spent 2 years in litigation for that, but never went and had the correct breast biopsied and ended up dying of her cancer. And so when I had my own anger issues at the doctor who didn't diagnose me, I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to succumb to the anger, so what do I do?
Right.
So I didn't find any cancer retreats back then. This was in 99, and so I put together my own, and I took myself off on retreat for a week.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Kind of did a lot of the things that we do at our group cancer retreats and our mm-hmm. individual cancer retreats. So that kind of was the background for how we got started.
Okay.
And Lou and I always knew when we came together years later that we wanted to do some sort of retreat program and teach all of the wisdom that we have amassed through our years of our own side of the soul and coming through the other side, feeling the call to share what we'd learned. And we bought this place in Hawaii that's spectacular, overlooking the ocean, very green, beautiful. Trade winds keep the air some of the cleanest air in the world.
Well, when can I come?
Great place to be doing our retreat. So that's kind of the background to how we got started.
Excellent. And Lou is not a cancer survivor, or what is it?
He was my caregiver.
Okay.
So he comes to the table with that. And Lou, would you want to give a little of your?
Yeah.
When I met Karen, I actually put an ad in a newspaper for her, a personal ad. And that's how I met her. And then found out what she had just told you in the audience, that, you know, she had been diagnosed and, pardon me, that she had taken care of her late husband. And then about 4 or 5 years after, we got together, and actually we were just in the process of moving to Hawaii. She had this diagnosis. And so, you know, I had my own anger around that because I was very angry at the doctor who she had known for 20 years. And so, you know, I had to work through that. And then to be very supportive of Karen, even though, you know, the doctor suggested that she do a hysterectomy. And being involved with that whole thing, I had to kind of work through that, but at the same time be very supportive. So,
right.
That's kind of how, you know, I got involved. So Dave, who was her late husband, is really kind of the impetus behind, you know, starting this cancer retreat.
So which island is it located on?
We're on the Big Island of Hawaii. So, you know, the whole state's called Hawaii, but the island we're on is called Hawaii.
Right.
But most people call it the Big Island to differentiate it from Oahu, where Waikiki and Honolulu is.
I've been there.
A lot of people heard of.
Mm-hmm. So say that I go to your retreat. What is a typical day at Kokolua? What would that be for me? Besides you being excited to see me, of course, after that.
Yeah, well, that would be for the typical day.
Or just pick one day that you...
Okay, so if we're talking about our group retreats, which we do about 8 times a year.
Okay.
Our group retreats and our individual retreats are a little bit on the same plan, but a little more individualized. So a typical day will start with a yoga/qigong stretching program at 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a sitting down qigong. Qigong is a part of traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay.
I can get back to that if there are questions. But at 8 o'clock, we'll do this guided relaxation meditation that's kind of based in qigong theory for half an hour. And then there's just some free time for people to get themselves together. And we all take breakfast together on the lanai overlooking the ocean at 9. And then we will start our morning session around 10:30 and go till 12:30.
What does that consist of?
Yeah, the morning sessions vary in the respect that we might have a didactic session. I teach things, and Lou has some things he teaches. We teach guided imagery, for example, help people come up with a script for their own imagery.
Nice.
Give the research behind what we teach. Stress reduction techniques. There's a number of different stress reduction tools we share with people so that when they leave here, they didn't just come to Hawaii for a retreat to feel better, which God knows is powerful enough.
Exactly.
But they also leave here with some tools to take with them that help them on their healing journey. So those are some of the things we teach, a number of different stress reduction tools, like I was saying, including qigong, some detoxification kinds of things that they can do. We talk about nutrition, talk about the importance of exercise and nature, and talk about where they are and what they've been through. And I give the research, for example, behind telling their story. It's shown in research that by just telling our story, we can increase the components of our immune system.
Oh, really?
About things like that. Yeah, I always add a little caveat that doesn't mean to become a victim of your story.
Oh, exactly. I never use that word, by the way, victim.
Victim?
I hate that word, yes.
It's a good thing to try not to fall into trap of.
Yes, exactly.
And then we'll have lunch together again on the lanai, a rest period after that, and maybe another hour session in the afternoon. We take all of our meals together on the lanai, which is a covered patio in Hawaii, again, overlooking the ocean with the palm trees blowing right out in front of our vision. And in the evening, we might do a campfire, singing, some writing, artwork, something, whatever comes up. Lou, did I leave anything out there? It seems like there was something I was going to say about that whole process. And we don't always do didactics. We might have a field trip to a healing place nearby. That's also factored in the retreat.
Nice.
Get a sightseeing. Did you want to add anything?
Well, what we try to do is balance in the group retreats, people having some individual time or time to... you know, talk with their fellow participants in the retreat. So our group retreats are usually anywhere from 6 to 10 people. So we keep them very small. There's generally a waiting list to get into them, so we encourage people to sign up as soon as possible.
How long is the waiting list?
You know, it varies because, as you well know, in the cancer field, you know, and this gets to who comes to our retreats. You know, we started this program as an aftercare. So what we wanted to do was, you know, once people had a diagnosis and they've been through it, we wanted to, you know, talk about getting back to, you know, the real world.
Right.
But we found most of the people that came here were people who had just either just been diagnosed or right in the throes of chemo or radiation or both. And so having them come here, you know, gives them a break from medical appointments.
Yes.
Perhaps pressures from friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although, you know, we want what's best for our loved ones, but sometimes, again, as you well know, when you get diagnosed with cancer, everybody has the answer.
Oh, exactly, yes. I do know that.
Eat broccoli sprouts and all kinds of stuff.
Which
and,
is a good thing to do, by the way.
Yeah. And people, but, you know, you get overwhelmed.
Yes.
And so people like some time just to sit in reflection or, as Karen mentioned, we take our meals on the lanai, and generally, you know, you eat dinner and maybe you have a little conversation, but sometimes our participants will sit and talk for hours after dinner.
Wow.
Just about their journey, and it allows people who feel perhaps that they're alone in their own journey to get some support and realize that the same kinds of things are encountered by almost everybody.
I find that with a lot of survivors that I talk to, it doesn't matter what the cancer is, that we are all facing the same journey and the same problems and the same
exactly.
side effects. Now, you find more, because I kind of find this surprising, you find that you have more people going through treatment than people who are actually in their survivorship?
By far.
By far, yeah. Probably 95% of the people you know, have been either just diagnosed or they're right in. Maybe they've started the chemo regime and there's a break, a 2 or 3 week break, and so, you know, they find about our retreats and they schedule a time to come here. Which gets back to the answer to your question about the waiting list.
Yes.
We really never know who's going to be here.
Oh, I see.
Because things change medically for people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, you know, somebody might be scheduled to come here for a retreat and then, you know, they've got to go back into treatment or something's come up medically. So we, you know, initially the first year or two, you know, would try to line up everybody and make exactly who's going to be here. But we found out that, you know, whoever's meant to be here will show up.
Exactly.
But we'd like to, if people give us a little notice, because we'll, you know, we'll book in, let's say, 8 to 10 people for the retreat, and then people want to come, and we'll say, you know, we'll try to give you, you know, a couple week notice, because people got to book their reservations.
Oh, exactly.
Now, so we do have openings for our December retreat. It was full.
Oh.
But a number of people have had to reschedule till the January retreat because of what I was just explaining, that mm-hmm. they need to go back into treatment and they've got some medical challenges that they need to cope with before they come over here.
See, I find that surprising because I had low white counts throughout my entire treatment. So the thought of getting on an airplane, I think my doctor would have said, yeah, no, that's not
right.
going to happen.
It's a kind of a controversial area there. You know, our program is focused on combining Eastern and Western medicine.
Right.
So we, you know, we're not, you know, like, we don't dictate or lecture to people they should do this or that and the other thing. We're here to support people in whatever decision they make.
Oh, of course.
So a lot of people want to do a combination. So we recommend if somebody, you know, has just had a diagnosis and maybe they're scheduled to do chemo in the next 3-4 weeks, that if they can swing it, that they come right away because, you know, when you are scheduled to do chemo, your mind starts playing a lot of tricks.
Oh, yes.
And so this goes back to the guided imagery, relaxation stuff, and that is if you've made a decision to do chemo, you want it to do the best job in the world for you.
Exactly.
So to get your mind wrapped around being supportive of when you're sitting there and they're infusing, you know, the chemo into your body, you want to send a message to that medicine that it's to go and do its job. So Karen's put together some fabulous PowerPoints with lots of colorful pictures so that people can get in their mind's eye, you know, what the cancer cells look like, what the macrophages that eat the cancer cells look like, so they can then send a message. And this is what she mentioned, the way of script, that you can put together. You remember the old Pac-Man thing?
Yes.
Or Pac-Woman thing?
Yes.
Just to be PC here?
No, we don't need to be PC.
That was, you know, an imagery that a lot of people use to, you know, go around and eat, you know, the cancer cells.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people find it absolutely fascinating. When you mention guided imagery, you know, it brings up a lot of different things. But, you know, guided imagery, I used to work in sports psychology, has been used for many years. You know, if you look at skiers,
oh, yes,
at the top of the hill before they go down, you know, between the gates, they will in their mind run themselves through the entire course. So if you prepare yourself and rehearse these scripts, you know, they're incredibly powerful.
Right. I agree with that. When I play hockey, sometimes I'll, you know, picture me playing or doing a certain move or scoring a goal or something like that.
Ice hockey or field hockey or both?
Ice hockey.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Field hockey. Come on now.
I just wanted to acknowledge that Lou and I studied for many years with Dr. Jean Ochterberg, okay, and she gifted us with so many of these slides that we use. It was just an amazing gift, and it continues to have such an awesome impact for people to help them.
Well, it sounds like it, for sure.
What it is going on inside their body.
Well, and I think one of the hard things is a lot of doctors don't want to tell you that because that'll kind of, they may think the patient will be freaked out if they see all sorts of pictures of what's going on.
There needs to be a training, I think
Mel, you're right,
to go along with just seeing the pictures.
Well, yes.
And doctors don't have time to do that.
I know, and that's where the web is dangerous.
So, you know, one of the challenges for those of you out there that, you know, have been either exposed to cancer yourself, mm-hmm, or have somebody in your family, is if you go into the doctor and let's say you're supposed to start chemo in 2 weeks and you say, hey, I found out about this Kokolulu Farm and Cancer Retreats program and it starts in 3 weeks, I'd like to postpone my chemo, you know, for maybe an extra week or two after I come back. And, you know, some doctors are really supportive and say, absolutely, you know, that's real important.
Mm-hmm.
We get other people who call and say, my doctor said, you know, this is no time to go on vacation. You know, you're dealing with a life and death issue here, so you need to get right on this chemo. So, again, this goes back to what Karen was saying. You know, we try to help people realize that they're in charge of their own healing.
Exactly.
And they need to call the shots, and not to say that doctors are not supportive of people. You know, for the most part, they're very supportive. But, you know, if you're an oncology doc and you're seeing 25, 30 people or more a day, you know, you only have a limited amount of time to kind of listen to the story and, you know.
I agree. I mean, you know, if I had known about this retreat before chemo, because my diagnosis was stage 1 breast cancer, and I was kind of put through the surgery and chemo pretty quick, but if I had known about this, I definitely would have gone before chemo and surgery.
Yeah, what I'm seeing is kind of a dichotomy in medicine today in the respect that it can take weeks and months to get into a doctor to get the diagnosis, even though your symptoms are pretty clear. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we have to do this today.
Right. Yeah, my doctor, my primary care, was very surprised how quickly I got in. I think it was a matter of like 3 weeks from diagnosis to surgery.
That's amazing.
Yes. So you were talking about group retreats. So what's the difference between that and a personal retreat? Like, would I just call you up and say, I want my own retreat?
Yeah, we do 2-week and 4-week retreats.
Okay.
So we encourage people to do that, you know, if they can swing it both, you know, time-wise and financially.
Right.
Because that allows us to work on a one-to-one basis. Also, I'm a Qigong monk, and we brought a process here from China that's really benefited, you know, our cancer patients who come here individually. Unfortunately, I don't have time to do that process with people during the group retreats.
Okay.
Because it's a one-on-one and it takes a couple hours.
Well, what is it exactly?
This is going to be very, very interesting to explain this to you because, you know, qi is energy,
right,
and gong is movement.
Okay.
And qigong is kind of a mother term that encompasses lots like tai chi and other things. So this specific kind of qigong realigns the brain. And it's been researched in China, and we're beginning to put together a research project here in the United States to, you know, kind of sort out the things in the brain, as it were. So what they believe, their belief system is that this, what they call virus, which would be a translation of virus, occurs, and that needs to be ridded out of the body. They also, this process also deals with the medicine that gets injected into us. I mean, as you well know, chemo is pretty harsh stuff.
Yes, it is.
It kills things off, you know, good cells and bad cells. So this process also allows for that stuff to be taken out of the body. And it takes some time. So when people come here, I teach them in the 2-week retreat and the 4-week retreat. I'm with them every day for about 7 to 10 days. And then I kind of wean them off so that they do that themselves. So when they leave here and go home, they can do this. It doesn't require any equipment, no special clothing. They just need a space, you know, in their home, or, you know, if it's good weather, they can do it outdoors. So it's been very powerful. My teacher, who is in mainland China, who I've been studying with for 18 years, had 7 centers throughout China, you know, treated probably over 1 million people of various chronic illnesses. So if people have questions about it, I can get in, you know, more detail as to what happens. They're
okay.
Welcome to call us. In fact, if you don't mind us giving out our phone number.
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
For sure.
So it's Kokolulu Farm and Cancer Retreats. We're on the web at kokolulu.com, KOKOLULU.COM. So kokolulu.com. There's also links cancer-retreats, that's plural, .org will take you also to the same website. The phone number is area code 808-889-9893. Again, that's 808-889-9893. Please
awesome.
Note the time difference if you're calling from the East Coast. We often get phone calls at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
We are now 5 hours. I think you're on Michigan's East Coast, right?
Yes, we're East Coast.
So we're 5 hours earlier than you. So if
it's 3.
1 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
it's, let me do that, it's 8 o'clock
in
the morning here in Hawaii. So.
Yeah, that's a little early for a phone call.
Yeah.
Well, 8 is tolerable. 2 or 3 is a little rough.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a little rough. So,
and a lot of people from New York who call 3 in the morning and they think Hawaii is right next door to New York. So
that's funny. Manhattan's an island, right? So, you know.
Yeah.
So tell me about your farm and what kind of role that plays in Kokolulu Retreat.
Yeah, we have a 7-acre farm. We raise probably 70 to 80% of our own food.
Mm-hmm.
We try to raise fruits and vegetables that are beneficial to people that have been diagnosed with cancer or any other chronic illness. My wife also has a huge medicinal garden with healing herbs. We have chickens. We did have cows, but the cows ate a lot of the fruits and vegetables, so they're not on the farm anymore. Our next door neighbors, you know, have cows.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, we're about 15 minute walk from a little town called Javi, H-A-W-I. And so, but yet we're out in the country. So there's lots of different birds and trees and tons of palm trees.
So someone can just, when they have a moment to themselves, they can just wander the farm and relax.
Absolutely. We encourage that.
We also built, you know, when we first got here 11, 12 years ago, a Chinese temple.
Oh, wow.
And so we do our classes in the Chinese temple, and then people can sit and meditate in solitude if they so choose, you know, any hour of the day that we're not using it for our classes.
Now, a lot of people who come to the retreat, like, I don't know if all of our listeners know your retreat is free, but the person has to pay for their airfare there. How many of the patients that you have financial problems? Because I know for me, I mean, I had insurance, but I still owe a lot of money to the various doctors and whatnot.
Right. We provide, you know, sponsorships. So if you have any listeners there that would like to donate to our retreats program,
oh, awesome,
you're welcome to do that. So our group retreats, you know, we do provide scholarships to people. They do have to, you know, get themselves here, but
right,
we pick them up at the airport. We drop them off at the airport. Their meals are included. The lodging's included, all the classes, journeys to, we're in a really very powerful healing area on the northern part of the island. So we're in this vortex of five different volcanoes.
Oh, wow.
They are all, the ones that are close to us are not active. The most active one that's been erupting since 83 is on the southernmost part of the island, which is about 80 miles from here. And we take people down there during our individual retreats. So, you know, it's just an incredible place. And the energy here, you know, is extremely healing. Hawaiian healers will tell you that, you know, on the mainland U.S.,
yes,
where you guys live, things are fast on the outside, slow on the inside. And here it's the other way around. If you've ever been to Hawaii, a lot of people say, man, people are so slow over there.
Yes.
Life is just, you know, people are into enjoying life. So the healing here, you know, the pace is that things are slow on the outside, but they're very fast on the inside. We found with ourselves, you know, like anybody, like any couple in a relationship, you have challenges.
Yes.
That stuff came up very quickly, and if you kept your heart open, it allowed you to, you know, to deal with those in a loving, kind manner. And our participants who come here say they got so much out of it in a week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks. Of course, the longer you stay, the better.
The more fun, too.
The more fun.
Oh, I'm sure. I had a friend who lived at the Marine base in Oahu, and I just remember flying into L.A., you know, coming back from Hawaii, and I could totally tell the vibe, you know, flying into LAX. So, yes, I know the healing powers.
Different, yeah.
Oh, totally different. Totally different.
It's funny when you are on a plane coming from the mainland to Hawaii, everybody's got smiles on their faces.
Yes.
When the plane goes back to the mainland, it's kind of the opposite.
Yes.
So people are like, oh my goodness, I wish I could live there.
It's amazing. And you do take donations, you said.
Absolutely.
That's how we function. So we are able to offer scholarships to people only because of the donations and contributions of generous people.
Excellent. And 100% of all the donated funds go to scholarships so people can enjoy the retreat on your island.
Absolutely. Karen and I take no salary, so all the monies go towards providing the services for people. You know, just the money that people donate supports the daily operation of the retreat.
And we are a nonprofit organization. Need to know that.
Excellent. End of the year is coming up. If you need to add a couple more things onto your taxes, perfect time.
Be more. Just give us a call. Again, the number is 808.
Yes.
889-9893. And we are very good about getting right back to people. Or you can connect with us on the web. And again, it's Kokolulu, KOKOLULU.com. There's a number of different buttons on there that say donate, and you just click on that, and it takes you right through to either paying by check or by credit card, which is way easy. So.
Oh, yes. And if people want to get a hold of you for the group retreats or a personal retreat, they can just go on the website as well.
And yeah, and the information's all there. You know, it outlines a daily schedule.
Excellent.
Gives a lot of people of information about us and our qualifications. Karen mentioned Dr. Jean Ochterberg.
Mm-hmm.
She and Karen, my wife, actually put this program together. And they were doing research, distant intentionality research at the hospital in Waimea, which is about half hour, 40 minutes from here. And Earl Bakken, who's, you know, invented the heart pacemaker and founded a company called Medtronix, they were doing this research study on intentionality and for him. And he asked them, what would you guys like to do? And they said, we'd like to put a cancer aftercare program. And that's how the formal part of it, you know, got put together. And then we decided to do it here. And like we told you, you know, most of the people are in the throes of cancer and not on the other side.
But I do think that people going through survivorship would benefit as well.
Because
for me, survivorship seemed to be, well, it is a lot harder than the actual treatment itself, so.
I agree. There's still a need for that, too.
Yes.
And the one thing we didn't say is during the individual retreats, personalized retreats, people are invited and encouraged, at least for a part of that retreat, to bring their significant other with them.
Very nice. The
caregiver needs the retreat and the teachings as well.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes the person affected with the diagnosis might come, for example, for the first week and then have the partner come for the second week, just so that the person going through the diagnosis currently can have some one-on-one time to process and go deep within without the influence of anybody else on the outside. So our group retreats, because they fill up, we can't have people bringing their significant others in for the individual retreats.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad I found out about you guys today, especially from Rob at Project Boobies. We have to thank him as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I decided to put a plug in for his project. I met Rob a couple years ago we redesigned our website, and he now volunteers and puts in thousands of hours in support of our program. And he put together this nonprofit Project Boobies program, mm-hmm. where a significant amount of the monies go to Kokolulu for the sale of T-shirts.
Yes. And we've had
projectboobies.com is their website. They're, you know, getting a number of celebrities who are endorsing and signing these T-shirts that you can then bid on. And 100% of the money goes directly to Kokolulu to support our cancer retreat scholarship.
Yes, excellent. And if people want to listen to that, I did have Rob on a couple of weeks ago, and that is on the website. Well, thank you very much, Lou and Karen, and I hope to see you at some point in Hawaii, or Hawaii, as you say.
Yeah.
Well, Mel, you're so welcome. I hope you come over.
Aloha from Hawaii, Nei, and Thanksgiving wishes and holiday wishes to you, Mel. Thanks for your time, and thanks to all your listeners. And please support the Cancer Warrior. That's a great thing you've put together to get the word out to people. So mahalo, as we say in Hawaii.
Wow, that was awesome. Well, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com on Facebook. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.